This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on Wednesday. Syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage. TerrySavage.com is the website, is in our studio. I was sharing with Terry off the air that this weekend when I was cleaning my windows and got into a conversation.
Listen
with
to this, folks. Lou Listen
Manfredini
to what he said.
About what's the best way to wash windows. Lou likes a fiber rag and a little Pine Sol in a bucket of hot water. But I like to take whatever fluid you're going to use and scrunch up your newspapers and use that. And as I was washing the windows, I was up on a ladder, and I'm looking at Terry Savage's face from the business section of the Tribune. And I thought, oh, Terry, I hate to do this to you, but...
Yeah, you washed... I don't know what's more
horrifying.
Your face
cleaned my windows.
I do not know what is more horrifying, the fact that you used my column in the Trib to wash your windows, or that you were on a ladder. Isn't there a commercial here that says, get leaf guard, don't go on a ladder? I mean, I hear that all the time.
I do, too. And obviously, I did not heed that advice. I did read the column, though, so I think that's the main thing, is that...
You read it first. That's what they say about yesterday's newspapers, like you use it to wrap fish or...
As long as you've read it the first time, I think that's okay. You know what people are still talking about is rising interest rates, the cost, or both rising interest rates and also rising prices, although both of them seem to have peaked. At least inflation seems to have peaked, right?
Well, so the news today, I mean, the headlines today, the first thing I heard this morning was another Fed governor said it's going to likely be 75 basis points. So even if inflation... as we see it, has peaked. It hasn't really peaked, and the Fed isn't satisfied, and it'll be 75 basis points. So the market's up about 300 points today. What I think is happening now is we're suddenly realizing it. We've after 3 months of, is it a recession? Isn't it a recession? What will the Fed do? We're suddenly realizing, or the world is suddenly realizing, that we are the least worst place to put your money. So Britain is in a horrible inflationary period, the Bank of England raising rates, and they are also facing a winter. And by the way, my midsummer Labor Day advice is save up for higher heating bills here this winter. But you think we're going to have a problem, it's going to be terrible in England, it's going to be terrible in Europe. They're raising rates over there, desperately trying to quash inflation. They're months behind us. And China is falling into recession. It's been in a huge slowdown. We're seeing their numbers because they're still hugely on lockdown. So the rest of the world is clearly about to be in or entering into a recession. And we look like the best place to put your money. And the Fed's going to raise rates even more, even though Canada raised its rates today. Great Britain is raising its rates. So the dollar is very strong. We just said on the news, it just the euro and the dollar are back at parity. But for the first time since 1985, the dollar was significantly stronger than the euro. I think I'm trying to remember back when the euro first came in, it was about $1.60 to a dollar. And now we're just about at parity. So the United States the markets are being seen as, despite rising interest rates, or maybe even because of our rising interest rates, the least worst place in the world to send your money, because everybody else is in trouble.
If you have parity between the euro and the dollar, does that mean it's more expensive to buy an Audi or less expensive
to
buy an Audi?
No, it means your dollar will go so much further. I mean, maybe...
better to buy imported goods, but then if you're traveling overseas...
Oh, this is the perfect moment to be in Paris. I mean, quickly before they can raise their prices of their hotel rooms or their luggage or whatever else you wanted to shop for, which they are doing because they have inflation, so they're selling their goods for more. But the currency is losing value, has lost a lot of value, so you feel like, remember the days, maybe you don't, but the OPEC countries were flush with dollars and they'd go to London and they'd buy everything. And you felt like, I was living there then, you felt like such a peon because you were worried about your dollars and they had tons of them. It's like that. Suddenly the dollar can buy more stuff. So you have to get there quickly though, because they're raising prices on their hotel rooms. They know what the problem is.
A lot of our listeners last week had questions about Social Security. I've got a list of things that they wanted to get answered. Maybe we can answer them this week. Maybe you've got a question for Terry, too. The number's 312-981-7200. Call or text right now. Jerry Haggerty, thank you again for being a co-sponsor of our Teddy Roosevelt visit, which is going to take place at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. Pete looked it up, and there are seats in the final three rows. Go to WGNradio.com/TR if you want to come. You should come to that event, Terry Savage. You should come see Teddy Roosevelt talk.
Well, the Rough Rider was a, you know, I'm an American history major.
I did not know that.
So, yeah, so the Rough Rider was, you know, he was a cool guy. He changed the White House dramatically.
He really did. He fully realized the power of the executive branch. He said where a lot of presidents would say that no power will go to a president that is not enumerated in the Constitution, his attitude was, I will take every power that is not excluded by the Constitution.
Well, so interestingly, stay off politics, but when Trump first came in, before we knew anything else about him, and you know, he was likened to Teddy Roosevelt.
Frequently, yeah. And still
and he
is.
Did take every power. And then someone, never mind, don't get me going.
No, but that's true. And listen, this will come up. When we're on stage with him, somebody's inevitably going to ask, what president are you most like? And I'll remind him that the one he is most recently compared to is the previous president. Hey, Terry Savage, gas prices have gone down. Gas prices have gone down. Rates have gone up. When are prices for everyday items like groceries going to follow the gas prices?
Don't. Hold your breath. Prices don't go down. Not unless we're in a deflationary period, which we almost entered into about 6-7 years ago. And I remember asking Jay Powell when he was here in Chicago for a speech. I was among the financial people there. And I said, do you think interest rates on treasury bills will go negative? And I mean, I've told this story before. He scowled at me. Interest rates will not go negative. In a deflationary period, which is deflation means things are going down, prices are going down. There's a great fear that the economy was swirling around a black hole. This was before the pandemic, well before the pandemic. And interest rates on 90-day treasury bills were like at 0.11%. And deflation is not something to be devoutly hoped for because it's a signal that people are hoarding their money. They're scared to buy. The jobs are, you know, people are just holed up and the economy slows down and actually goes negative. But I think that inflation is baked into the system now for a good while. The question is the expectations and the increases is what the Fed's getting at. And it could take them a year or two to bring inflation back down to their goal of only 2%. But in the meantime, you're going to pay the price. And the biggest price you're going to pay, everybody's watching gasoline. Everybody's watching the Fed. My point is that you've got to watch heating oil and natural gas this winter because it's a global situation. And that you have to watch Europe and not so much the Fed. We know what the Fed's going to do. And we see gasoline prices coming down. So prices won't increase so much. But coming back down on everyday things, I don't think so.
You warned us last year at this time that heating costs were going to be high, and it went through the roof last year. Is it going to be as bad this year, you think, as it was last year?
We started from a very low base, but if you look at what's going on now with natural gas prices, the United States is the largest producer. Actually, you know, not even just in Texas, but in Pennsylvania. I forget the name of that shale formation, but Pennsylvania is the largest natural gas discovery underground. Of course, they won't let them drill. They won't let them make pipelines and so forth. We have stopped pipelines from Canada. What's happened is there is natural gas. It's in Russia, and they turned off the pipeline to Europe. This is an economic war that Putin's waging in addition to the bullets. So I think the disruptions this winter could be even more dramatic than last year. We're starting from a higher base here in Europe. They're not going to have the gas. So it's going to be a very, to me, this is scary in that regard.
847 says, I will be turning 65 in a few months. I have been overloaded with mail and email regarding Social Security and Medicare. I don't plan on retiring until I'm 67 or 70. Do I still need to sign up for Medicare now at 65?
It depends on your employer coverage. It cannot hurt you to sign up for Medicare Part A because it doesn't cost you anything. Other than that, do nothing until you're about to lose your employer coverage, as long as it's the same kind of coverage, with Medicare. And Social Security you definitely want to wait at least till your full retirement age. And I'll say this for the, you know, this is my weekly question.
Thousandth time.
If you have enough money in your savings, if you have a pension or something else from work, if you are willing to take your some distributions from your IRA, you get a guaranteed 8% a year increase in your Social Security benefits, plus your COLA. Now, look, I just did a podcast with Larry Kotlikoff, the creator of MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. He's a pretty well-known economist. And as we were preparing for that, I said to him, Larry, I'm really concerned about this. If there's a 10% increase, which could be your 9-point-something% increase anyway, in Social Security COLA, it'll be announced in October when they see the numbers, and it'll start in January with your payments. And you're, say, 68 or 69, and you're going to get an 8% increase in your base check, wouldn't you be better off starting your Social Security so you could get the 10% COLA? He said to me, Terry, you're going to get both. I said, no, that can't possibly be. That'd be like 18. He said, it's not 18%, Terry, if it's 10% and 8%. But it's factored into your delayed base pay. So believe me, he said, and I'm just not that great at math the way he was explaining it, you're going to get both the 8% increase plus the effect of the 10% COLA on base pay if you wait another year.
What's the retirement age, the mandatory Social Security?
You must start taking Social Security at age 70.
You have to take it at
you
70.
Must. So you must, but not a month before, because Social Security, another thing Kotlikoff pointed out is, and he sued them. I mean, he made a big deal. He asked Congress to look into it. They were running around telling people, I'll make things easy for yourself. Start on when you're 69 and a half, because you'll get the 6 months, blah, blah, blah. And no, they were trying to screw people out of an 8% increase.
This question says, please ask Terry if this is a good time to keep cash on the side, or should I get back into investments now?
Cluck, cluck, cluck.
Terry Savage, the money lady at WGN Radio. The phone number is 312-981-7200. The money lady, who is going to be speaking in Ottawa, Illinois tomorrow.
What a strange coincidence. I have long planned. The nice people at First Federal Savings Bank in Ottawa have invited me out there. I'm doing a program in there. It's in the bank lobby. It must be a gorgeous view. But then I mentioned Ottawa, and I said, I got to look on a map and see where that is. And you said,
we have a little farmhouse out there.
Amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. I have a lawn that I like to mow out that way, and I'll be just down the street from you.
Well, I hope you and your wife, will you stop by? I don't know what time you get home, but
yeah,
I'm speaking at 4.
At 4? I won't be there at 4.
Okay. Well, come anyway, because I'll
maybe
talk
I'll
for a while.
Maybe I'll be there
at 4:30. Okay, well, that's great.
I'll stand up and ask a pester. I'll pester you. I'll be that guy in the back. Well, what about the thing in 1984 you said that rates were going to go up, and they went down?
You know, how different could it be than our Wednesday hours together? So will you promise you'll stop by if you can?
I will, 100%.
Okay, they will love that. And anybody who's in Ottawa, First Federal Savings Bank.
4 o'clock tomorrow.
On LaSalle Street, at 633 LaSalle Street.
Okay, let's go fast. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
I'm planning, what do you say to the person who said, please ask Terry if this is a good time to keep cash on the side or get it back into investments?
So you want to know if the market's made its bottom yet. I personally do not think it has. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have some cash in equities. I do. I've been at a stage where I don't want to take tons of risk, but I know that over the long run, and now I'm thinking about, well, what will my kids get? The stock market is the reflection of the growth and the future of America. But everyone is different. I do not know if the market's made its bottom. Personally, I doubt it. But that's not my bet. My bet is that I have enough chicken money that I could sleep at night.
You don't have to pick the bottom anyway. All you have to do is guess, will it be higher in a few years? So even if it goes down, the question isn't how low will it go, it's when will it go higher?
And I
would think in a couple of years, it's going to be higher.
Oh, I believe that, of course. But not everybody. I got a call from a woman I've known for many, many years. You've heard me talk about my favorite fund, the T. Rowe Price Equity Income Fund. No better than any other equity income fund, except I happened to buy it a zillion years ago. And I put her into it. And she called me and said, Terry, I've lost 30-something percent. I said, well, wait, what? How could you have? That fund has done relatively well against the market decline. Oh, I moved it into the growth and the international and the fuff. And I went, oh, my goodness gracious. She's in her 90s. I sat on the phone with her yesterday and called T. Rowe Price and said, move all of this and half of this or a third of this into the money market fund. There are some points where you need that money to live on. You just don't forget how over the long run. What's your long run?
What about this question? Terry, my husband died recently and I have a $1 million life insurance payout. It's divided in a savings account and at Marcus Online, each at 0.05%, and I don't know what to do. Can you give me some ideas on what to do with this money, says Mary Ellen.
Okay, look, first of all, I'm looking at Marcus Online because I got a peek at this and what my savings rate is. And if you were in a two-year CD there, you'd be getting 2.5%.
That's pretty good.
But that's not the answer you need right now. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss. Second of all, I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you have kids that need to go to college or what your housing situation is. You need someone you can trust. It sounds like I'm giving a commercial. I'm trying to save you from the clutches of raising your hand and saying, someone help me with all this money. Because for sure someone will come along to sell you something that's not right and gives that person a nice commission. I would like you just to either go to terrysavage.com and click in the box that's on top right that says Find Trusted Financial Planner, or just go directly to wealthramp.com, where Pam Kruger, who I do a podcast with, by the way, Friends Talk Money, has set up a system where she has carefully vetted fee only, nobody's selling anything for commissions, fiduciary, putting your interests first ahead of theirs, financial advisors. There are plenty of them in the Chicago area. I know most of them. You get matched with a couple of them. You get to talk to them. Pam will put her arm around you and guide you through the process. And this is the moment where you need to get yourself organized for the rest of your life, however long that might be.
If you have $1 million as an insurance settlement or payment, do you pay taxes on that money when it comes to?
No.
You have $1 million clear.
Right. But the truth is, $1 million ain't what it used to be, even though Everett Dirksen said a million here. Today it's a trillion. And I'm not being facetious about this. I don't know what your stage of life is. But yeah, you need some investments. But I'm not going to scattershot all the things you could do.
We have a lot of questions here about investments. It says, okay, Terry, my mom and dad just acquired a lump sum of $375,000 through the sale of property, not their home. They both received Social Security, but have almost no investing experience. Dad is aiming for $2,000 a month through investments. How would you advise they put his money to work to pull $2,000 a month?
Well, I'm not sure you can pull $2,000 a month unless you're taking out principal. But that's not, if you're talking, an adult is talking to me about their parents, I'm going to assume they're in their 70s. Maybe the kind of thing that would be the best investment would be to take some of that and put it in a combination long-term care insurance policy that would cover them both so that they would have, the biggest thing that comes along is not their need for the $2,000, but what if you need care at $5,000 a month for someone to come in or to move into assisted living? So I can't do that out of the blue. I mean, you could get a 2.5% dividend yield, but you won't get that kind of monthly withdrawal without digging into principal.
They want cash. They want this to generate cash, $2,000 a month.
Well,
what's the most?
That's $24,000 a year, okay?
Out of $375,000.
Okay, so it's like $8,000 a year on a $100,000 principal. That's like an 8% return. And I don't see any safe way for you to get that.
I'm planning on taking Social Security in 2023. My birthday is late April. When is the best time for me to begin?
The time to begin is right after your birthday, but you can register to get it set up for the month after your birthday.
So when do you register?
You start the process, but you make it very clear about a month or two before, but you start the process and make it very clear that you do not, and in writing, that you do not want your benefits to start until after your birthday.
Terry, we're out of time.
Oh,
all
wow.
Text messages today. You're speaking where tomorrow?
I am going to be at First Federal Savings Bank in Ottawa, Illinois.
At 4 p.m.
And I assume that it's in their lobby. I'm sure they'll squeeze you in. I'm just, what am I going to do? I'm going to do the whole financial planning, what's going on in the markets, and take questions. And they'll give me more time than you do, John. But I hope you're really going to be there, because everybody will come just to see you.
I promise you I will try.
Okay, good.
It depends on traffic.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I don't have a limo taking me there, Terry. I have to fight the traffic all by myself.
I'm very impressed. I demanded someone take me there because I get lost, even with Google Maps.
It's good to see you, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
I hope so.
You can find out more from Terry at terrysavage.com. It's 12:45. The Wintrust Business Lunch continues with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A bidding war has broken out among Chicago renters. Block Club Chicago says apartments in neighborhoods like Lakeview and Westtown are running for $500 or more over their listed rates, and properties are being snapped up within hours of being posted online. The report says renters are also paying more money up front to beat out other applicants, pushing up their move-in dates and settling for apartments they would have otherwise not chosen. Rents have been climbing as landlords and property managers pay higher taxes and building costs. Real estate analytics company CoStar says apartment occupancy in Chicago is growing at the fastest rate in more than two decades. The number of apartments rented over the past year is nearly three times above the city's average. A major new study on the impact of climate change will focus on Chicago. The U.S. Department of Energy has awarded $25 million to Argonne National Laboratory for the study. The money will be used to create an urban field laboratory in Chicago called the Community Research on Climate and Urban Science. Experts say urban regions are expected to face some of the most adverse effects of climate change, including extreme heat and flooding. Researchers are hoping to develop climate models to predict the effects of climate change on individual neighborhoods and offer potential mitigations. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, and we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the phone we have...
Elizabeth Taylor. I'm the sales manager for Lamb's Farm.
You've seen Lamb's Farm if you've driven I-94 around Libertyville. There's that big lake out front.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to Lamb's Farm, and they used to do water shows on the lake. And they used to have big concerts in the parking lot.
Today, though, the main function of Lamb's Farm is to help about 200 adults with developmental disabilities not only live as independently as possible, but also work.
We have a bakery and country store where we are making chocolates and cookies and candies. We have a thrift shop, clothing for men, women, kids, babies, toys, small appliances. We have a pet shop, which we have rescue puppies and kittens available for adoption. And we have our Magnolia Cafe and Bakery, which is serving up breakfast and lunch.
For a lot of us driving by, Lamb's Farm has been there as long as we can remember. It goes back to the early 60s.
Our co-founders were, one of them was a teacher and one of them was a bus driver for a school for kids with special needs. So the co-founders opened up the pet shop on State Street in Chicago in 1961 called The Lambs.
And from the storefront on State Street, they expanded to the current farm location. And it is not a working farm as such, but there are animals.
We actually have many animals, too, with special needs, which makes it a little bit more special.
Pop on in the next time you're driving by. Lamb's Farm and all of its shops and restaurants are open every day except Mondays, and there is plenty to do.
You can visit our animals. You can take a miniature train ride. There's a carousel, and they can play mini golf as well.
Meanwhile, about a year ago, we profiled a Chicago company called Fresh Midwest, which was founded by Patrick Fitzgerald.
Go Cats.
Again, no, not that one. Last spring, the folks who run Fresh Midwest reached out to Lamb's Farm asking to be a retail partner, and it was an offer they couldn't refuse.
They donate all the proceeds back to Lamb's Farm.
You can find out more about everything they sell at Lamb's Farm at lambsfarm.org. Christmas is coming. Shop now. From the farm to your belly, today is National Salami Day. It's also National Beer Lovers Day. I think I see a pairing there. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Jim Gourley is the founder of a website called Kenosha.com. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you.
I know a little bit about your website, but you didn't grow up in journalism. You were in the bone dry products business, and I don't even know what that is. What did you do for a living?
That's a company that I purchased back in 2000, and it's a company that provides products for sealing concrete.
And mainly
to prevent any moisture from coming up through the concrete from the ground and destroying floor coverings. And so that's been a great company for us, and so we've got that company, another one called Prairie Shores. We manufacture wood flooring for retail store chains, not for resale, but used in the construction of their stores. So a number of different things over the years.
Based in Kenosha. And so then what inspired you to come up with Kenosha.com, which, as I understand it, is a website, a digital media platform for interesting and positive stories about Kenosha? What caused you to do that?
Well, actually, I read in the local newspaper that the domain name Kenosha.com was for sale back in March of 2020. And so my thinking was that, you know, why didn't the city own that or somebody here locally? And so I contacted the owner, who was living in Scottsdale, and we discussed the purchase. And so I did that in that morning. And then we had to try to figure out, now what do we do with it? And so we decided to create a website that only has positive information about the area, so there's no crime or no local politics or no COVID information, because a lot of that is just, it's available so many other places. So we wanted to put more of a positive spin on the Kenosha area, and there are so many great things to talk about in the Kenosha area. So that's the site that we created. And so now we have a managing editor. We have a director of content and several other people that are writers and coordinators of the procedures on the site. And about 13 different writers work with us freelance. And so it's come a long way. We actually launched the site with our what we call our partners or sponsors of the site December 27th of 2020. So it's been about a year and a half that we've been up and running, and things are going extremely well, and it's been a lot of fun to be part of.
Is it profitable? Do you sell advertising? Do you make money on it somehow?
We do sell advertising on it, and we have about 40 different partners that work with us and looking to bring on some more all the time. But it's the same old thing. You have to prove that you're worthy before somebody will jump on board, and so that's happening more and more every day.
How many users do you have, Jim?
You know, right now, I'd have to take a look. I know it was well over 10,000 users that we have. But when you look at page views, you know, this past month, we had over 100,000 page views. And so that's constantly growing every week. And so that's not bad for a company as young as this one is.
And a town that is not large as it is. Kenosha's not a small town, but it's not Chicago. I think it shows that there's an appetite for this kind of site or this sort of information, right?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, when we created the platform, it's a custom platform that we created for all of our sponsors, so they get good rotation on the site. But if we are doing, you know, Kenosha with Kenosha.com, we can certainly do other cities .com. And so the platform is one that can be used anywhere. And we've had some interest from a couple of places about doing something.
Oh, I see.
And we're a little young. I said, let's hold off a little bit. There are always a few bugs to get out of things. And so we've been tweaking things here and there. But I think we're getting very close to a point where another city could probably use our platform and replicate what we're doing here. Yeah,
Jim,
I think so.
Jim Gurley is the founder of Kenosha.com. It's all the time we have today, Jim, but let's catch up on this. It's an interesting enterprise, Kenosha.com. Thanks for visiting with us.
Okay, thanks a lot, John. I appreciate it. And I'll say hello to Lou Manfredini for me.
Yeah, he's the king of positivity here at WGN. Of course, he and Jim would be kindred spirits.